Welcome to Wednesday. No, we'll do that again. Tech guy said no.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, we got excited. Welcome to Wednesday. Oh my gosh, that was funny. I think, was that your first technical, real technical role? Like in 9 months?
That was good.
That was really good. You were spot on. As nice. Jennifer Coolidge and her little thing would say.
Thank you, sound guy.
Welcome to Wednesday, sound guy. Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are
oh
you
my
doing?
Gosh. I'm great. Wednesday,
Yeah.
If you don't know.
Self Star and Cannabis Kid.
They rock it. They rock Tucson, Arizona.
Every Wednesday.
Number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis.
We have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the
world at
large.
We need a bull home for that.
Yeah.
World at large. Hey, anyone out there, tell your friends to call 646-915-8421. They can email thctucson at gmail.com and ask Bell and the Cannabis Kid your question.
And if you know who the Cannabis Kid is, you can text him. Let's get my friends and family calling in.
Okay. Maybe I'll have to challenge Bell Star's friends, but does she have any? We'll see. She's a wicked gang leader. I don't know if they have many friends.
She's a tumbling tumbleweed.
Speaking of tumbling tumbleweed, we'd like to thank Double Weed Sales Center for hosting this wonderful show.
In their great space.
Yeah. What a beautiful space they have. You guys should all come down and get your zen on down here.
Tonight
it's
we're not
cool.
allowing any more people in because the place is just packed.
Hundreds. In fact, it's like the David Letterman studio thing outside with people banging on the window.
Oh my gosh, look at those signs. Someone painted their faces with WW, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Way to go.
We'll get you a free joint.
Hey, if you can answer one of our trivia questions that we have every week, we're still waiting for you slackers to get down to Tumbleweed for your free choice. Come on,
I
people.
I can't believe it. We ask questions.
Silly little questions. Trivia from,
not
you know
hard.
What?
Not
do
hard.
It. Let's do it now. Do one now. Pop one out.
Well,
let's just start the show with something fun. Last week was
last
great.
Week,
we're not even going to go there. We're just going to say.
It was.
Bulldog.
Bulldog. It was the first cannabis or the coffee shop named after a certain kind of dog. And so it's called
Bulldog.
All right, what movie is about an American named Billy Hayes?
Tech guy threw it out. He's matching it. He's throwing a joint, too. He doesn't know it. He just said two joints this week. So I thought I'd throw that out there to him. Two joints. Okay, sorry. Say again.
Stuff.
Say again. Question is.
What movie is about an American named Billy Hayes who is caught trying to smuggle hash out of Turkey? Sound guy.
Sound guy has answers already. All right. Ooh, yeah. And I'm sure he's right. But say the question again because this is worth two joints.
You hear that, folks?
Two.
What movie is about an American named Billy Hayes who is caught trying to smuggle hash out of Turkey?
Good one. Come on, people. You got this. Two joints. Tucson. Two joints, Tucson. Woo! All right. And at Tumbleweeds Health Center, besides your free joints, you will find classes, lectures. We'll give you a lecture if you want one. Demonstrations. Certifications. If you don't have your Arizona medical marijuana approved card, come get it at Tumbleweeds Health Center. All things medical cannabis related, tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
And they're doing a special deal right now, aren't they?
Winter special, $95 certification.
Right.
Yeah.
So the whole process will either be that or you can take the paperwork home and...
It'll be that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two different prices.
Very inexpensive to come get your card. It's like a sponsorship to the program, we say. It's kind of like PBS, you know, when you donate to one of their cool programs and you get something really cool in the mail. So,
and I think a lot of people enjoy being in Tumbleweeds. They have tons of information, books about cooking.
Wonderful lending library. You can borrow books just like you can at your old-fashioned library. Bring them back.
Lots
we
of
trust
stuff
you.
To read.
We know where you live.
educational DVDs.
Yep. Classes every week. And now, every Friday... With Nurse Mary D, we have our Canna Chats. We have Nurse Mary D, an RN, comes and talks to everybody about the state-approved ailments. This is a new series we have at Tumbleweeds Health Center starting Friday, 5 to 9 o'clock at night. Come down, listen to a Canna Chat.
She was doing the one about medical cannabis and cancer, I think, the last
week.
I was
yep.
here.
And I believe the next one is glaucoma.
Wow. So
there are a lot of you out there,
you
I know, who have
any
challenges
friends,
with
family,
that.
Or yourself.
Yeah. Come on
have
down.
Have someone drive you down.
Yeah. Safety. It's our
safety
main
first.
Concern here. Safety, safety, safety. Yeah, have someone drive you down.
Come on down.
Wow. We have a little mouse in the studio. We have, I was going to say, speaking of safety, has nothing to do with that, unless you're testing safely. Then this goes hand in hand. Well, we should just spout out a commercial right now for AZ Med Testing before we go into our awesome interview. So let's give a thanks to AZ Med Testing for testing safely our medicines to ensure that if they do have aliens, they come to Tumbleweeds Health Center and get certified. But if they don't, that's good. We don't want aliens. But they test for things like alien matter study, cannabinoid surveys, microbiological evaluations, moisture presence, pests and fungi, which we've not seen any, thankfully, knock on anything. And they do this through a scientific methodology, and they extract the cannabinoid percentages to let you know what's in there.
Which, if you've ever been to Tumbleweeds, it's a small little flyer, colorful flyer they give you with all the different kinds of cannabinoids that they have.
CBD, CBN,
THVs,
CNVs. They tell you what they're good for. I don't know if anybody you know this. THC is good in helping to relieve anxiety. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. The psychoactive ingredient helps relieve anxiety. I like that. Yeah. And if you want to grow this for yourself, you can check out Grower's House right here in Tucson or online. If you're not in Tucson, check out Grower's House because we know some of you are not there in Tucson tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in the Tucson area or shop for hydroponics online, visit Grower's House at 227 East Valencia or growershouse.com.
Lovely family down there.
Awesome. Paul and Nate, father-son team, great guys. Still don't know if any chicks are working there yet. Come on, girls, can of girls, let's get them in there. But go talk to them. They are very experienced, and they're very helpful, and they're very kind people. Mm-hmm. So, and if you want any more information about growing, resources, safety, check out Mary Jane's Survival Guide. MJSurvival.com. It's a great medical marijuana patient guide for anyone seeking MMJ information about things like recipes, pictures, articles, clinics, clubs, certifications, and more. MJSurvival.com. They're great. So you should come into Tumbleweeds, and those guides are absolutely free. Come down here, get one of those when you get certified or when you come for your medication. We have a really incredible guest tonight. This was thanks to somebody in Minnesota. Hello, Minnesota. Asked Belle and said, hey, Belle, we have somebody here that might be of interest to you. I'm going to actually read about Mr. Bill Bourdeau. I hope I'm saying that right. I've been Bourdeau. Yeah, I hope I said that right. We'll get Bill on the line here in just a moment, but we are going to read just a little bit about Bill and why he's come to our show. It says, William Bourdeau was one of 20 human subjects in the Harvard experiment, Marijuana, a Signal of Misunderstanding. He holds a BA from the University of Minnesota and has worked as a reporter for several Minneapolis magazines. Now, he was one of the test subjects for Harvard University back in 1970. They conducted the largest publicly sponsored marijuana research experiment in U.S. history. And the results of the experiment were reported in the study Marijuana, a Signal of Misunderstanding, and reincarnated into one test subject's insider story, No Compelling Reason. And let's see if we can get Bill on the line here. Let's see if this works and see if we can say hello to Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, there you are. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yep. How's it going?
Pretty good. I can hear you fine. Hi, kid.
How you doing?
Good. Real good.
Excellent. Well, we just have a million questions from 1970 on. I was thinking about this all today, like, you know, what was pot like in 1970, which is when I was born, and how'd you get it, and how'd you get into this test study? Why'd you get into it? I mean,
who were you hanging out with? Sounds like
I was going to call you Mr. Bill, but maybe we won't go there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are? And did I say your name right? Is it Boudreau?
Boudreau.
Well, Mr. Boudreau, why don't you tell our audience out there who you are, how you came to Weeds Day, and let's get to some fun questions.
Well, one thing I wanted to say was the street value estimated in that day of THC was 1%.
Wow.
The pot that they offered in the experiment, they said, it's grown in Mississippi by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, was 8 to 10%.
Oh.
And it was three toke stuffs.
Yeah.
Crumbly.
Yeah.
Not so nice.
I bet that's the same stuff they still use for the federal patients, the Mississippi-grown.
Is it really? Awesome. Yeah, I guess they've got quite a fence around it.
Yeah, a couple dogs maybe. So what was street value you were saying back then? Did I miss that? I think it's kind of cut out.
1%. Like, how much was...
How much was an eighth? What would you pay for it? If there were such a thing as a dispensary back then, haha.
I think my first OZ was $15.
Wow.
Oh, my God, I just almost lost my coffee. Yeah, first down, $15.
Seed stems and everything.
Where's that time machine?
Yeah, I think it's about $400 now.
Yeah, bare minimum for the good stuff. Yeah, so 1970, what was going on with you back then that you went to Harvard? Did they come to you? What happened? How did you get involved with this study?
Well, in 1970, I was 22. I just graduated from college, and for a lot of people, time or change was everywhere, and we thought we were going to do big things, and I left Minneapolis. I went to visit in Boston, and I got involved in this study. Of course, Boston and Harvard do lots and lots of studies, but this one was a special one, and it was 30 days long, and we got the first 5 days and last 5 days, no pot was allowed. That was a baseline area where they were just accumulating data to test against the period in which pot was available.
Huh. Wow. That's pretty interesting. And then what happened?
Well, part of the reason I wrote the book is because one of the major features of the experiment was a motivational device that wanted to see how hard you were willing to work for pot. It was something called a hand clicker. And if you clicked it 10,000 times, you got one joint during the experiment or a dollar after the experiment. And we found out, all 10 of us, that 10,000 points, that took about 90 minutes or maybe an 8-hour day, 9-hour day. And that's hard work.
Oh, I bet. So,
well, what happened was somebody dropped the clicker, and we discovered that we could make magic out of the thing. So we condensed 90 minutes of effort to about 6 to 8 minutes.
All right.
And we never told them.
You never told them. That's great.
Donors are smart. Okay, so every 6 to 8 minutes you're getting a joint. How many people were in the test study?
There were two experiments with 10 each. And the first group had, they were recruited because they had hard drug use, because most marijuana experiments deal with criminal populations, because these are the people that are believed to smoke marijuana regularly, since it's illegal. So, and then our group was people with light usage. We were familiar with hard drugs, but marijuana was our preference, and we smoked it either intermittently or heavily.
Okay.
Hey, Bill, did you guys have friends in there with you, or did you make friends while you were in there? And I mean, it sounds like you guys, you know, got together, especially with fooling the scientists, I guess, with the button dropping and stuff like that. So you guys definitely formed a camaraderie. Did you have friends that you went in there with, or?
No, no. We were all more or less strangers.
Okay.
Okay. And what kind of, did they do actual tests, like when you were and were not smoking?
Yeah, the day started about 9 o'clock and went to 3 o'clock, and we were tested all day long. They drew blood samples. They checked our weight. We had to blow things up to check our respiration. We did time estimation tests. We did memory tests. We did the MMPI a couple times. And let's see, what else? And then we had for group discussions in which they would try and get us angry at each other into, because they would have these force tests where, you know, you had to decide A or B, and if you decided A, then you could screw the other group. And it was some weird psychological things that were going on there.
Yeah, I know they were. That's why I was asking about the camaraderie and the friendships were made. Is that they always say pot is a very soothing thing, and it doesn't cause angry thoughts or anything like that, and it subdues a lot of people. So that's why I was wondering, do you guys become friends like through the whole process? And
how do they make you angry? What do they do?
Well, they did lots of things. Like they would have a volleyball game, and they would you know, give a like free joints to the winners to create you know, a little violence there towards the net. And that was one of the things is they really did want to test this idea that marijuana is not a violent creating drug. And they seemed to agree that it did not create you know, violent interaction, but it didn't stop it either.
Well, how violent did you get over a joint? Well, yeah, did you guys just all sit down after the game and share it, or what?
It's better sharing.
Yeah, no, it was, they attempted to manipulate us so much, and then we're also in a setting where, you know, you're on a ward, and you can't get off, there's no phone calls or anything like that. So, you know, everybody was a little bit on edge, and it seemed like they were manipulating us to get us further on edge, so we'd go after each other.
Huh.
But they failed.
But that's why I wrote the book, is because I'm not sure what they were attempting to do, but I had my ideas, and that's why I kind of fictionalized what these scientists might be doing in addition to doing the regular physical mental tests that the Congress had agreed upon.
Were you okay? So how did you find out about the study, and then was it all male, female? I mean, was it mixed?
It was all male, and it was advertised in the local alternative paper, Boston After Dark.
Wow. And why did they do an all-male study? Did you ever find that out?
No. We asked them certain questions, but they really didn't tell us what was going on because that would prejudice the results.
Right. Did you get results of your tests? And the study itself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a book. It's called A Signal of Misunderstanding. You heard about it. And
Right. That's
the official results. And they told us towards the end what some of their conclusions are going to be.
Oh. Well, I apologize. We have yet to read that book. But my
well,
bad.
You won't be able to find it, I don't think. I think I've got the only copy.
Well, then you're going to have to share. We'll keep it safe, we promise. There's a Raymond Schaefer 1972 book. What's it called?
Yes, that's it. It's the Schaefer Commission, and that's what the group that put this together. It's like 32 doctors and scientists.
You find it on eBay? Someone found it on
Amazon.
Buy it quick.
Well, I'll bet you it's there. I don't know if they've reissued it. I hope they have. Otherwise, the binding is going to be stretched a bit.
Get it. So there you go, folks. Go to Amazon if you want the book real fast. So what kind of the tests that they gave you, were they, did they, I mean, what kind of tests could they give you that would show results like you, they were doing blood work? What were they looking for in your blood work? Because, I mean, were they feeding you all the same thing every day and some people were getting marijuana, some people weren't, and what were they showing with this? I mean, it's fascinating.
Well, I don't think that there was a placebo. I mean, this was all marijuana. But they would have a psychiatrist come in every other day for a small conference with you to assess your mood, how you're getting along with people, how you're adjusting, what you're thinking of at that moment. And then he would pop in some questions about your sexual behavior or your sexual identity. And it was like, wow.
Interesting.
Huh.
Well, because it plays so much with the brain. And there's a lot of different functions that it touches on when it's in the body.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, that's the thing about marijuana is it's an hallucinogen, and people, it's a very difficult product to get a hold of, and that's what these experimenters were trying to do. They were very ambitious. They wanted to solve this question once and for all as a kind of a boon to mankind. And that's why I think that they really took us apart and tried to figure out what the drug was doing to us.
So this was in 1970?
Yes.
Okay, so are they doing this now? Do we have human studies now on male and female cannabis users?
No, not that I'm aware of, because it still continues to be a Schedule I drug. So getting access to it is very difficult. Harvard could do it. Congress could do it. But nobody has been able to do it on that kind of a scale since.
Hmm. Interesting. And do you know the strains they were giving you by chance? Like, did they tell you were giving you indicas, sativas, or they just give you?
Sativa. Sativa, and that's about as far as they went. Guys, you know, don't get excited, but this is really dynamite stuff. It'll blow you away.
And did it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Huh.
What were some of the effects that you had while on the medicine there?
Well, it seemed to me, anyway, I mean, it's a subjective, but it was very creative. People wanted to get almost by themselves, so that the effects were so exciting that sitting in a group of people and talking about it was one thing, but it was kind of, that'd be dull.
Great.
Huh. Interesting.
How were the scientists or the people working the project with you guys? Were they really nice? Did they seem kind of understanding, or how were you treated?
Did they think you were a bunch of hippie stoners?
Yeah.
What's 70?
Well, you know, the researchers weren't that much older than we were, and
oh.
I'm sure a couple of them smoked. I don't think they had any way of detecting whether or not they smoked at that time, so I think a couple of them smoked. As a matter of fact, I think they're smoking our stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
Some of the samples.
They probably thought 10,000 clinics to take you back forever. Wait, 8 minutes later, what?
But the stigma bill wasn't is in a doctor's office setting now. Was it more laid back, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this time, I think in the late 60s, wasn't the Army experimenting with LSD and all sorts of other drugs unbeknownst to their subjects?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
So, you know, it's kind of like a period in which, you know, there was some excitement about doing something new, and the lines hadn't hardened. I mean, people didn't really know about marijuana. They were just becoming acquainted with it because of all the kids were using it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the whole peace, love, flower child, flower power,
Can you talk about the modern-day pharmacology that you were talking about?
Modern-day?
Yeah, the tool that you were talking about. Modern pharmacology tool that boosts creativity and assists with research for self-identity.
That's some promising work that at the time they were thinking about, because one of the things this book mentions is that there are many therapeutic references in the history of marijuana, and the Schaefer Commission wanted to encourage science to look at these things, like glaucoma, alcoholism as a treatment for alcoholism, what else? A couple other, chronic diseases. So there was a real excitement about it. The commission itself didn't really want to encourage legalization, because they decided that if it was legalized, more people would smoke it, and therefore whatever negative effects marijuana had, although they couldn't find any, they would be multiplied by additional people smoking. So what they opted for, the commission, the Schaefer Commission, said that we'll continue to criminalize sale and distribution, but they advocated that for individual home use, it should be decriminalized and no penalties should follow police surveillance and intervention in the home.
Very interesting.
And didn't get it.
Yeah.
Richard Nixon was there. I had to live with Richard Nixon for far too long. But I can just see him sitting across the desk saying to Haldeman Ehrlichman, "What do you think about this one, guys?" And they said, "Mr. Nixon, these aren't your people." Okay, screw them.
A great impersonation.
Now, Bill, did you come out with friends after the whole study? How long was the study, by the way?
30 days.
30 days.
30 days.
Yeah.
Did you guys come out with friends that you still talk to, or?
No, because Boston is the kind of city in the summer everybody shows up there. So, there were guys from California, New York, Ohio, Florida. There was no one close by, we were kind of vagabonds to be honest about it. The reason you could spend 30 days bumming in a marijuana study is because you didn't have anything else to do.
Nice.
Did you? Maybe you're not still friends today. That's great. But did you talk to anybody from that study for your book? Are they still using cannabis today, or?
I haven't. I'm sure if it sells, I'll hear from them.
Yeah, now you will, huh? Right. And where are you in Minnesota? Where are you?
Yeah, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. What's going on with your state and legalizing?
It's very interesting because we now have a liberal governor and Senate and House, which we did not have before. So I think that it's likely that some kind of medicinal marijuana initiative is likely to show up in the legislature within the next couple of years.
Oh, good. I would imagine that would be the case for a lot of places. What do you feel about what Washington and Colorado has done with legalizing for recreational use?
Well, it's interesting because I've been trying to write something about what I think the Fed might do. And, when I look at it, I just think that they're going to let the states go their own way and maybe 10 years down the road make some kind of assessment. But I'm worried because I was recently busted when I entered the United States from Canada. And I think that the border security is really trying to create an empire, and they're going to use marijuana interdiction as a stepping stone to some real power and authority.
And what happened when you were busted?
Well, they pushed me around and screamed at me, a circle of them, pothead, and we're going to get you and all this other stuff. And it was basically, I had a container that someone had left at my place. I thought it was empty. I swept it into the recycling. And they admitted that it was residue less than a gram. Less than a gram. And they were going to put me in jail.
Someone went through your recycling?
$1,000. Huh?
Someone went through your recycling? How did they get this?
Well, because this is what the Border Patrol does, is they do these interdictions at the border where they'll have maybe two dozen dogs, drug-sniffing dogs, and they'll have 30 or 40 armed marshals with the face paint, and they grab people depending upon whether they've got a beard or not, and they send you into this line, and then they come up to you and they say, well, my dog actioned on your vehicle. Step out. Do we have permission to search it? And then they just tear it apart.
And the
whole idea is to catch some big guy with 400 pounds so that
right.
you make the news.
Right. So what do they do with you with less than a gram of dust?
Well, one time they seemed almost apologetic, and they said, well, it's like a traffic ticket. Well, the traffic ticket was $880.
Oh, no. Wow.
So,
that's a hell of a traffic ticket.
And it was crazy because I went back up to the prosecutor, and he wouldn't talk to me, but I sat in his court, and I saw him deal with these young, fetal alcoholic kids who were facing 20 years, and they were 19 years old. They'd committed so many crimes, and he was giving them, 90% cutback, and he was throwing a book at me.
Wow. Well, shame on him. What... And your book, what's the message? Like, what do you want to say about your experience? And, I mean, that was a long time ago. You've been through quite a bit. I'm sure we could have, like, weeks worth of shows and chit-chat about all but, from 1970 on, there have been so many changes in administrations and policies, and now
and
we
the
have...
the science of it is
And the
different.
Science is now... more in the general public, and we've got two legal states. What do you want to say? What's your message?
Well, part of why I wrote the book was I wanted to tell people that, the drug really doesn't change personality. It doesn't make you do anything that you wouldn't normally do. I just wanted to look at normal people and their motivation for either choosing the drug or not to, because they say that 50% of people that pick up pot choose to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, they just don't understand it. They think of this, dirty drug that's going to hook you and make you an addict and change your life. And that's not it. It's not Cheech and Chong. That's not what pot's going to do to you. So that's why I wanted to see these guys, put them through the paces as the scientists put us through our paces and see what kind of results. And I don't think anybody went off the rails, maybe once or twice. But it's because of the individual, not because of the drug.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that's not pot's fault.
Yeah. Well, that's what they concluded. I had a bunch of these, but they say that the page 121, there exists little likelihood that the introduction of a single element such as marijuana would significantly change the basic personality structure of the individual to any degree. So they couldn't come up with anything against marijuana, but they thought still you don't encourage usage of a psychotropic drug.
Right. Well, okay. Right. A potentially psychotropic drug, because you know, it's not that way for everybody.
Right.
You know?
Especially
the indica. Yeah, especially the other strains that are more for, you know, just relaxing the body more than inducing the cycle.
And it also depends on how you use the plant or the bud. Because you might not get the perfect.
That's what I thought was a key conclusion in this study, is that they said smoking marijuana is not immoral. It's disapproved because they worried about it, but it was not immoral. And I thought that was a big step for people to take at that time because, you know, the people who are making the decisions, they probably never smoked marijuana and they probably never will. They're too old.
Right.
So that's
bureaucrats.
It falls in with cigarettes and alcohol. I mean, it's, I'm guessing, when the studies were done, was that said that that was immoral? You know, or?
Well, exactly. I think during Prohibition, that was a cheap argument that it was immoral.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Just look at the pictures and posters and the advertising back then. It's all of the devil and
so many
reefer madness, you know. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty amazing. I'm confident. You know, one thing about Prohibition, they said that the government lost 40% of its revenue because that was one of a major tax in that day. And I think when people look at the $40 billion that we spend for incarcerating the 800,000 people we nab for marijuana every year, and the $40 to $50 billion that we could make by taxing it at the state and federal level, it's a slam dunk.
That is a slam dunk, just on those two categories alone, you know, and there's so much more, you know, there's so much more you could argue for this plant that just, you know, but.
I think it deserves another try, you know, I think people need to give it a second chance and look it over.
Do you feel like that study was beneficial?
Oh, absolutely. Just let me read one more short paragraph.
Please do.
Okay, and this is a conclusion from the Boston 21-day free access study. That's the study that I was a part of. And it says, this is a quote, no harmful effects on general bodily functions, motor functions, mental function, personal or social behavior, or work performance. No sign of physical dependence or withdrawal, even amongst heaviest users.
Wow.
You'll hear that about... Yes, about heroin.
It is.
Yeah, that's a that, yeah, right.
Well, it says a lot about the plant and the medicine, and it.
Well, and just the fact that, you know, what we hear nowadays is that it's habitual, not addictive,
right.
And there, you know, there are some things, in a lot of things in life that are habitual, exercise, food, things like that. But like the study has shown, or that study shown. Even coming off of it, it's not something that you show symptoms of, like heroin, like you said, or
heroin
things
or
like
cocaine
that.
Or any other things that you actually go through or withdraw for.
Yeah.
So alcohol.
Right.
Really hard one.
Cigarettes, even.
Cigarettes.
The most commonly used and accepted drugs or...
You know, at patients at a time, they had the...
Stimulants.
The scientists up there talking about one of the ones they did. Three, they had... 30 test patients, and for, I think it was 3 months, they got a gram a week. Was it either a gram? I think it was a gram a week. And some of them were on meth, cigarettes, and some of them were alcoholics, but some of them all three, some of them just two. They noticed extreme amounts of cutting down on all of those, a decrease on almost all
in
use in all of those things that they were on once they were put on cannabis. So.
Yeah, that's exactly what this report said. It said that they wanted to explore the medicinal properties of cannabis in treating alcoholism, and that was 1970.
Yep.
Yeah, wow.
That's amazing.
So why aren't they still doing that? Why aren't there more tests like that? Because especially on both male and female studies.
Well, I think we've been in a situation where we've had kind of recurring conservative regimes, and there's a group of people that simply say no to everything, and you know, we want it just like it was. They don't want any changes, And, you know, I think you need a liberal, progressive environment before these things can happen. But I do think that it's significant is that we're not getting a top-down change in marijuana approach. We're getting a bottoms-up change.
Yeah. Well, and as legislatures change and people leave office and new people take charge and bless you, come into play, things will definitely change there too. But I think it's going to take a lot from the patient. I think
you're seeing a lot of people wake up kind of and seeing what this plant can really do. And I think it's all about education, getting information out there, and like how you're doing. You're explaining to people that, you know, you went through this, you were a test subject. You got to experience firsthand all these things that they are testing it on and why it's like this and why it's now categorized like this.
Can I ask a personal question? Do you use cannabis now? Are you a cannabis user now? Okay, next question.
Well, I'll be honest, yes.
Okay.
I've had friends that have smoked cannabis, for 40 years, and we're not addicted.
Yeah.
So they're the same people they always were. I've never seen any personality change due to cannabis. I've seen personality change due to other drugs.
Absolutely.
I always tell people it's a really inexpensive alcohol. Because it is. You know, you go home and you have especially with friends. It's really nice with friends.
Buzz Light, we call.
What's that?
Buzz Light.
Buzz Light, nice.
Buzz Light. That's great. We need a new character for that. I can see that when they run around.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, it makes a difference because you're high in 10 minutes, you're down in seamlessly in 2 hours, whereas alcohol, you're just getting started in 2 hours, you waste the whole day, and you wake up apologizing to everybody.
Right.
Yeah, and you're horribly sick a lot of times.
You smoke
hangover.
Too much, I usually go to bed and wake up with a lot more friends.
You left all the weed on the table, they smoked.
Your Facebook page is blown up.
They ate your brownies.
And they ate your brownies.
Oh, awesome.
So, well.
Oh. We ordered the book already, so it's coming to Tumbleweeds Health Center. If anybody listening out there in Tucson wants to come check it out, we're going to read it first, but then you can check it out. Awesome.
You know,
thank you for reading from your book. That was a great treat.
Well, that was from The Signal of Misunderstanding. I haven't read from mine yet.
Oh, well, read something from yours.
Well, I wanted to mention my website, nocompellingreason.com.
Okay.
And that goes into some more detail. We're talking about the relative toxicity of drugs. And, marijuana is put down there with Valium. Tobacco, alcohol, the rest of them are way up top.
Oh, my gosh. That's
well,
crazy.
I always see the toxicity level. I have someone that sends stuff on Facebook, and they were showing the toxicity levels of all the different things. And I mean, talk about organic. Really just going straight to the source, and you're getting if it's grown right, and it's taken
not
care of.
Not chemicals.
And there's no chemicals, and that's what we all mean. Belle always talk about.
The purity
and getting your meds tested and things like that, and where people are at now. I mean, what you guys were using then, in the study, you said was 1%. I mean, we're looking at 20% on some of the cannabis that's coming in.
Yeah, your average is like 15. It's lower. You're lower than that.
And sometimes that's not enough for people.
Well, I wanted to say that 1% was considered the street. Quality of the period.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The 8 to 10% is what we were being offered in the experiment.
Uh-huh. So 8 to 10.
I still think that the 8 to 10% we were offered in the experiment is as good or better as anything I've seen since.
Wow. That must have been much.
Urban.
They knew what they were doing.
Oh, my God. Wow. No wonder you guys found a way to drop that clicker.
Irvin, is not that?
No, Irvin Rosenfeld, one of the federal patients, said that he gets his medicine and it's like about 3% THC.
Well, they can regulate it, and I think that's the reason that they probably lower it medicinally because they, again, they don't want you to get high, God forbid.
I know. God forbid you be happy. Oh,
no one's smiling.
They'll
at
get
all.
Us going. Yeah. We're not all smiling. Oh. Well, Bill, thank you so much. We'll end on a happy note.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining our show. It was such a treat to get Ashley's email, and we would love to have you on again. We're going to read the book and ask a million more questions, and see what's going on in your state. And
I want to thank you. It's been awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a real treat, and we're. What time is it over there? We kept you up past your bedtime, didn't we?
Probably. I'm an old man.
Well, have some nice indica and enjoy your evening.
Yes, thanks,
and,
Bill.
Thank you again so much. And it's nocompellingreason.com, correct, for people to check out your website?
And the name of the book, same thing.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. And
my pleasure. Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas to you. Wow. No compelling reason.
Interesting stuff. Can you imagine being one of the study patients?
Yep,
like,
I can. I know. Pick me. And they, if you go to the tumbleweedshealthcenter.com or nocompellingreason.com, I'm sure the quote is the same. It says they found no compelling reason to prosecute marijuana users. I mean, for real. Mm-hmm. You heard his quote from the other book about the fact that they didn't find any negative effects in the studies.
And I love how he was talking about how the some of the scientists were smokers themselves.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And just knowing exactly what they were doing and the feelings that, you know, they're writing down, you know, they're noting all these behaviors that they're doing.
Well, and imagine if they were used to, like I said, on the street, you get a 1% THC and you go to 9%. Like,
right.
Holy Toledo. They were happy.
When he was talking about it, I had a little...
A fantasy
of kind of what it was like, and like, you know, we read Hempathy.
'70s.
We read Hempathy, and it was, you know.
And they were seeing flowers.
People, you know, the scientists on one side, and it was all these people in the garden on the other.
I know.
And it was like
your
people
white
were
coats
making people smoke pot.
Dancing
and
the
doctors were like listening to their heartbeat, and it just seemed not so fun. But you knew that it was good for you because it made you feel good. What is there?
What's wrong with
that? The government has such a problem with it making you feel good.
Well, and that's why I think people, you know, when they are left to their own devices, they find something that makes them feel good for a minute, and then somebody says it's wrong, so they have to have it, and they have to have more. Oh, my God. Ah, you know, millions times more, and they have to have it. Well, regulate it. Well, I guess you can't say that for alcohol, because I guess the country tried to regulate that, and look what happened. Well, but that's just people's nature. You can't blame the substance or... Yeah, it's just people. Like you said, you can't blame the pot on that. We need a funky little because we have a new little segment to our radio show called the Canna State Update.
Canna State Update. So we have some things happening here in our state.
Oh, we sure do. We should start with Arizona.
Yeah, we should start with Arizona.
Start with a little bit of news. Well, actually, let's start with the world at large.
And bring it back in?
We'll bring it back to what Obama says.
Okay.
Obama says that his administration will not go after recreational users. After more than a month of silence on marijuana legalization, President Barack Obama finally addressed the issue last week in an interview with ABC News. Obama said that going after recreational cannabis users in Colorado and Washington would not be a top priority for the federal government, adding that he has asked the Department of Justice to examine the issue from a legal perspective. Let the parsing of words begin. And if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, I'm actually reading it right off their news and fun section. It says, however, the president was quite vague. Obama did not specifically mention the business side of the equation or offer any guidance for the two states that have legalized marijuana? Boy, that would have been cool, huh? Tell us what to do now. smoke. No, vaporize. And he said his statements sound eerily familiar to the ones he made on medical cannabis before launching a crackdown on the industry, which was quite a few years ago. He came out west specifically and said, we're not going to crack down on medical users. And then a million raids happened. So it's kind of confusing. But if you look at the places that were raided, I think they were maybe not doing
well. They always say
things.
If they were growing too much or
if they had more than they were supposed to, or so far, you know, Arizona's,
we've been playing by the rules and
pretty good. There have been some raids and raids on people that probably deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, because I hear that there are places in Phoenix that you can just walk right in without even a car.
Yeah.
And get what they call medical cannabis.
Right.
You know, so, and that's the thing. Get your meds tested so that you know it's medical.
Yeah.
And, you know, make sure you know what you need. Make sure you know what you're getting. Make sure it's safe. But, yeah, so that's what Obama says. And then here in Arizona, just not too long ago, judge won't put medical marijuana ruling on hold. Judge is refusing to temporarily block his recent ruling that Arizona's medical marijuana law is constitutional and that federal drug laws don't stand in the way of implementing it. Maricopa County Superior Court spokesman says Judge Michael Gordon on Thursday denied County Attorney Bill Montgomery's request to suspend the ruling pending the outcome of an appeal to a higher court. And Montgomery says he'll next ask the Court of Appeals to issue a stay. Well, he's already done that. I think he's already appealed to the courts, and there's all sorts of, you know, problems again. He's just going to keep doing this. But I think the judge is right. You know, the states have, according to our governing rules, they have the right to make their own
people,
state rules
the people made
and abide
the decision
by them.
There.
And they sure did make the decision there.
You
and
know,
and that's what they need.
I don't think maybe the government's forgetting what this country's all about.
Well, maybe Mr. Montgomery is. Maybe he has a personal issue with this, but that's not...
You don't bring that to work.
Amen. You don't. You don't bring it to work.
Don't bring that to work either.
Amen. Can you say it again?
You don't bring amen to work either.
Amen. Okay.
Well,
I can't
in
say
hallelujah. Your own personal way.
I second that.
Okay.
All right. I agree. Roger.
Roger that.
Copy that. Copy. So
with that, what you're talking about, it's our view. It says leave marijuana regulations to state.
Yes.
And this one is from when Colorado voters legalized marijuana, they set the stage for another great state rights backup with Uncle Sam. President Barack Obama weighed in last week saying on Friday he is willing to consider relaxing federal enforcement of marijuana laws for those who possess small amounts. It does not make sense for us to prioritize the point of view to focus on recreational drug users in the state that has already under state law that is legal, Obama told ABC. So.
Oh.
That's what he was saying, if anyone had caught that little bit of information. Obama says he's not going to – it's okay. This is not the most important part of what's going on right now.
No, it isn't.
And
I think he likes it anyway.
And yeah.
I think in 3.5 years he's going to be sitting on a porch somewhere.
Tumbleweeds carries his papers here.
His sweet hemp pipe. Yep, that's right. Like
come on down to Tumbleweeds and get some Obama papers.
Come on down.
Come on down.
They're hemp. They're great.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, I mean, we need to get some empathy in.
Speaking of hemp, empathy.
Empathy.
We love empathy. We love hemp. And we were just talking about that last week, and a couple weeks before, we're going to get some more hemp topics on here because it is a very important topic.
We also want to call, you know, the listeners to call in and what are they wanting to hear? I know there's things that we're talking about. But,
that's right. That's
you know,
just because we like to talk about it.
But is there something out there that you maybe haven't heard about or want us to talk about or
call in? You still have 5 minutes. We're gonna read a little story, but in the next 5 minutes, we're also we're gonna reread our two joint special. So if you're in Tucson or heck, if you're in Phoenix and you have your, it has to be a valid medical card from the state of Arizona. Sorry, no out of staters. But we have a trivia question, and this is for two joints. Smoked two joints before. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
She's getting out of hand. I hope you guys know that it is two joints.
Two.
What movie is two. About an American named Billy Hayes who is caught trying to smuggle hash out of Turkey?
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Two joints. Come to Tumbleweeds. Wait, keep that out.
I'm putting it to the front.
Oh, whew. See, I didn't know the system.
Unless you guys play this on a regular basis down here.
Oh, we just might. We do have Ganja Game Day down at Tumbleweed Health Center. Let's read about a little ganja. Empathy. Food for thought is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects, and we need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way and to the widest possible audience, to the world at large.
To the widest?
And any aliens out there. We need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a useful plant. You know, if we had some, like, radioactive waves, we could figure out how to say all this.
Not greed.
Radioactive? Ha-ha. Radioactive waves. We need to send them out to our alien friends. and like cannabis, this information is meant to be shared. So check out www.why-whynot.net and read along with us. This book is great. We still need to contact the author here and
a little combo
and have them on. Yeah.
Nice.
Is this, are we on the right page here?
Yeah.
Secrecy and dialogue?
Yeah.
This is great. Oh, my God, both these pictures are great. I'll let you go, kid. Start with the why, the secrecy.
So why? And in the picture, we've got...
Share.
I guess it's a... It's just a pot smoker kid, but he is smoking in his... I guess maybe his parents' bedroom?
Smoking somewhere.
Or
he's not. He's in the bathroom. He's standing on the toilet.
And he's got the potpourri spray, and he's blowing it out the window, and he's standing on the
old
toilet.
Aerosol cans.
Old aerosol cans that smell horrible. That potpourri is probably worse than that pot smoke that he's inhaling.
Oh, yeah.
He's all that aerosol
that.
Stuff. And then on the
maybe
other
that's
side,
a
on the split picture, we have an older gentleman stepping outside his back patio,
all right,
looking in back. Making sure
no one's watching. He's a homeowner, obviously.
Really
he doesn't have to stand on his toilet,
The stigma about it again.
It is. It's what people are thinking about you.
Trying, in these two pictures, they're both trying to not
dodge
be seen.
That. Yep,
not be seen because they're afraid of...
They're being
maybe,
secretive.
Yeah. And that's where we're going to go. Secrecy.
Somebody's watching you.
The major fear of parents is groundless. The vast majority of pot users do not go on to use hard drugs such as cocaine and heroin. However, there is a significant potential for psychological addiction based on the need to reduce stress and or the need to fit in with peers. The key is looking for signs that use is turning into abuse. That your child's behavior or personality is changing in a negative way. And I really think that comes back onto the way the negative ways it says that it's
well,
bad.
Well, and like Bill said and other people said, it's not pot.
Right.
You can be negative no matter what. Drink
right.
alcohol.
Right.
Eat a cheeseburger. Whatever you do, you're going to be negative.
There's a stigma that goes behind it. But why is something that makes you feel so good and has no harm to the body?
Right. Why?
Why?
And the great thing about this book is underneath all these little paragraphs, they actually have the resources as to where they got their information. So here we go. Why not? So now you've got, instead of, oh, it looks like their
father's son.
This is great.
Oh,
so they're in the
better.
Same house.
We just put it together.
That's because we were just focused on the one side. Well, now we'll look at this as
that's
a whole.
That's so funny. That's the window right there.
Oh, that's great. So dad is on the back porch smoking. And the son's in the bathroom. So now they're both together. Why not? Why not? They're sitting
on the back
porch. Passing the joint. They've got a joint and a pipe. They're passing. They're laughing. They're just having a great time. And they're relaxing. They're sitting in their...
And they're talking.
Cozy little chairs. And it says discussion, not lecturing, is the most effective method for parents who want to advise teens about alcohol and drug use. Setting an everyday example means more than delivering an occasional sermon. It is vital that we learn from young people about their experiences with and reasons for using marijuana. Parents, educators, counselors, healthcare providers need to talk to teens about the role marijuana is playing in their lives. This conversation must be informed by accurate information and educational materials. That is important. You must be informed. That's great.
The educational part is so
important.
You
don't know your rights, you don't have them.
And that's what we really encouraging the dad or the parents to sit down with their children and actually have that conversation.
Yeah.
It's something that
guardians, friends,
that the government put on everyone else because no one wanted to do it. No one wanted to sit down with their kids, so that they had to start sitting down with the kids. But it doesn't work that way, and not unless the parents, you know, their blood is sitting down and talking with them.
Well,
are they ever going to feel that it actually means something?
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Well, and dialogue is key. And we lost sound on something here. Uh-oh. Let's see here. Well, we are going to wrap up our show. I think it's almost time.
Yeah.
But we lost dialogue on we lost sound on our groovy little show, and I'll figure it out later. I'll figure out why we don't have any sound here. Set thing up. Set thing turned up. It goes that way. Let's see here. No, it is.
Yeah.
It's me. It's the
okay.
Program. It's me or the program. But anyway, Empathy is a great book, and you should check it out. why-whynot.net. So, just quickly, because we have our little disclaimer that we run over. It's just what we do. It's who we are. It's how we roll. Upcoming events in Tucson. Tumbleweed Health Center is having a 420 Festival of Education. Speaking of education, they're going to have all sorts of
vendors,
classes, demonstrations.
Artists.
Hey, maybe even a lecture.
Maybe a lecture.
All right, maybe a conversation or some dialogue. Fine. But it's going to be great. Come down to Tumbleweed Health Center, 5301 East Broadway, just west of Craycroft. If you know where Target, H&R Block is, check it out. Also, let's see what else. Winter special, $95 certifications at Tumbleweed Health Center.
Mm-hmm.
Come down for that. Super fun. And Grower's House. Right here in Tucson, hydroponic equipment, 227.
Father-son business, come on down.
East Valencia. And
they're probably doing some Christmas specials now, too. So you go in there and check out their website.
I bet they are. We got Sam. Yeah. Also, azmedtest.com. Get your meds tested, people, because you want to know that it's safe, it's medical, there are no bugs in it, no fungus.
We'd also like to thank Mary Jane Survival Time. And Tumbleweed Health Center for hosting Weed Day Wednesday.
And thank you, Mr. Bill Boudreaux, for joining our show.
Thank
that
you,
was
Bill.
Awesome. Everybody, we just ordered the book. Come down to Tumbleweeds and check it out. Wow, both of them. Wow,
both
we just got both.
Nice.
Ha! We can find anything here. If we don't have it, we'll get it.
And I am heading out for...
Cannabis Kid is riding out east. Where are you going?
I'm going to New Mexico.
Celebratory.
I'm going to see if I can use my card there.
Hey, if there are any New Mexico dispensaries, clubs, collectives, collaboratives.
I will be in Rio Doso, close to Rio Doso, or Las Cruces. And we would love Weed Day Wednesday to come and interview and take a little tour of the dispensary.
Yeah.
Or collective or whatever you have.
Or let's talk to some patients out there maybe.
We would love to talk to some patients.
People that have opinions. We love opinions too. We'll go with that.
Hopefully we can get in touch. So we'll
Lady Luck will be in the next couple weeks.
Lady Luck and
hanging
Bell
out with
Star
us.
Will be taking over next week.
And I guess that's it for Weed Day Wednesday. You can catch us maybe live from a dispensary next week.
Yeah.
But you'll catch us next week doing something fun. Tumbleweed Health Center, thank you. Come down for $95 certification specials. Oh, come get some cool accessories for your
books.
Your stoner friends.
Yeah.
Your medical marijuana information center here.
Vaporizers.
Yep. Books on cooking, law, growing, health related subjects. Artisan made.
All kinds of stuff.
Things down here. Come down. And remember, be smart.
Be safe.
And educate.
Woohoo!
Weed Day Wednesday. Thank you. Woo!